Heading into the weekend, we learned something new was coming to the conversation around property taxes in Connecticut. It involved state, municipal, and academic leaders unveiling this plan. Joining us back on the show to talk about it is Joe DeLong, Executive Director and CEO of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, also known as CCM, representing all voices from 169 municipalities across the state. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Melissa. Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday, my friend. Thank you for joining us. Tell us, what was the big announcement?
Well, the big announcement was, for the first time, we are bringing a statewide, what is called a citizens assembly, to Connecticut later on this summer and into the fall. Citizens assemblies are nothing new around the world. They've been done actually nationwide in France and Ireland and other places, and they've been tried a couple times in the U.S., the various levels of success. But what we're really intending to do is to just get a group of citizens from all across the state who mirror, you know, our Connecticut demographics, whether, you know, that's man, woman, economic factors, you know, you name it, homeowners versus renters, people who have children versus people who don't. You know, a really good balance that measures the or matches the demographics of the state of Connecticut to come together. And what we call this, we call it a citizens on top and experts on tap process. So it's designed to allow the citizens to self-govern, kind of learn at the pace that they're comfortable with, call in the experts that they want to hear from, and bring forth recommendations of what should be done with our broken property tax system.
Okay, so not to sound like I'm dumbing this down, but is this kind of like a blue ribbon commission? Like, are we getting?
No, not at all.
Okay, so help me to. I've never heard of Citizens Assembly. To be totally fair with you, Joe, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, so blue ribbon commissions. Number one, the people who are on them are typically get on there through some level of an appointment. You know, by knowing somebody or, you know, they are alleged experts in a certain space. So, you know, usually it's policy people, policy experts, friends of policy people, you know, academic people. The citizens assembly is a random selection process of the citizens in the state. It is not the people who are the ones that you hear from every day that are putting out the same ideas, that type of thing that blue ribbon commissions typically do. And the difference is, from a blue ribbon commission, if I'm an elected official and a blue ribbon commission comes forward and gives me a set of recommendations, I have the ability to kind of look at those and say, hey, yeah, these are great. I'm not sure what these really mean for me in terms of my reelection, in terms of my community. You know, thanks for the work. I'll consider it. A citizens assembly is the electorate. It's the people you represent. It's the people within your communities. So when these citizens come together and they put forth a series of recommendations and they give them to policymakers typically, you know, around the country and around the world understand that they would be wise to listen to those because it is a true form of democracy. And what it does is it elevates the voices of those who otherwise are typically not heard. And that is so important in this space that we raise the voices of the shy, that we raise the voices of the impacted. And it's not just those who can afford to show up or who have the time to show up. This is something that gives everybody an opportunity that matches the demographics of our state and our community to be a part of something. And by the way, one way that they are able to do it is they get paid. Citizens assemblies are much like jury duty for public policy. There's a random selection, and then people get paid for their time to be a part of the process.
Okay, so I was just going to ask Joe, how does that work? So you said this is going to start sometime this summer. Are they meeting once a month? How often are they meeting? What kind of comes out of each of these meetings? How many people are being pulled? I mean, give me a sense, because I'm still, I get the concept.
Sure.
I'm following along with you, but I want to then look at, so what does this kind of mean once it starts in the summer?
So the way that the random selection works is this week, a lot of them will start hitting people's mailboxes today. This week, about 280,000 randomly selected Connecticut citizens will get a letter in their mailbox, asking them if they're interested in being a part of this process. And if they are, they'll be asked to fill out a survey. And the survey isn't really their opinions on the issue, because those opinions on the issue, we all know the opinion on the issue. We have a property tax problem. We have an affordability problem. The survey is more the demographics to find out who they are. You know, do you own a home? Do you rent? Do you have children? Do you have all those types of things? And as that information is collected from those who want to participate, it gets narrowed down through an AI process, not through a human process, which is important because that means that nobody is pre-selecting anyone. And ultimately, at the end, a couple things happen. One, 100 citizens that match the demographics all across the state will be brought together for 6 weekends throughout the summer and early fall to study this issue, to break off in different focus groups. When they break off in those groups, they'll have professional facilitators to help them. The important thing is they completely self-govern. Nobody guides their decisions. And then outside of that 100 that are selected, you'll have other people that aren't selected that will still have an opportunity to provide their thoughts and their input through a variety of surveys and other types of things that will be shared with those citizens. In the end, in early October, they will release a set of recommendations that they come up with. And those recommendations, you know, are timely in the fact that we'll ask people who are running for office, including the final gubernatorial debate, for the governor's race, we'll ask the people who want to hold public office to respond to the recommendations that the citizens from across the state have made.
So, okay. So, and they're going to meet, you said, 6 times starting this summer?
6 weekends.
6 weekends.
Yes, four of those weekends will be in person, and 2 of them will be virtual weekends.
Got it. So, and then by the end of this, they're going to kind of give recommendations as to what might be a plausible step forward to bring down, for example, property taxes. I'm dumbing this down big time. But
yeah,
that's
it's really not dumbing it down. I mean, that's essentially it. What do the residents of this state want to see happen in terms of our over-reliance on property taxes? So they may come out and say, you know what, it's just the type of government that we want, or it's the type of quality of life that we want, and we're happy with property taxes the way they are. I seriously doubt that will happen, but it's very possible. But they'll learn how other states do it. They'll learn how services are delivered at the local level. One of the challenges we have in Connecticut, a lot of people are frustrated by the property tax, but they really don't understand the mechanics of it. They don't understand what all goes into property taxes. And a lot of people wrongfully believe that because it's a local tax, it is driven by local decision making, where the majority of your property tax is really driven by state policy. And so it'll be an interesting exercise for people to understand that, understand how state policy drives the property tax, understand the decisions being made by their state policymakers as well as their local policymakers, and then be able to come out and sort of grade that and say, we think you're right here, but we think you're wrong here, and here's what needs to be done to change this.
We're chatting with CEO and Executive Director of CCM, that's Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, Joe DeLong, back on the show, and always appreciate getting your time. Connecticut Citizens Assembly on Property Taxes. This was a brand new announcement earlier this month, and it's a collaborative effort. You've got Joe DeLong and his team from CCM, the state comptroller, Sean Scanlon, is involved. You've got Yale, UConn. So this is a collaborative state effort. We love to see this, absolutely. And I'm going to link, actually, the CT Citizens Assembly website to ours, voiceofct.com, so you can read through it, look at it, all of that. You want to know what I don't like, Joe?
What's that?
I don't like the timing of it. I don't like the timing of this. Why couldn't we have figured this out in January? You know what I mean? Before
a legislative session,
right? You know what I'm getting at? So here's the thing I actually think this is, it's great. I love the fact, first of all, here's why I brought up the Blue Ribbon Commission earlier. And I'm glad that you debunked that, hey, those are two totally separate things. And you did a great job explaining that. The reason I brought that up is because every time I hear a blue ribbon, I want to die a little inside. I really do. Because all it is a headline saying, hey, we're really focused on X by creating this commission who's going to have a year to then give us recommendations, and then we'll talk about the record. You know what I'm saying? So it goes down this rabbit hole of we're just acting like we care, but we don't. Whereas I do think this Citizens Assembly, this sounds great. I get, first of all, you have a very direct timeline. You've got 6 weekends. Here we go. We want results. Let's do it. I just sort of wish it wasn't after the legislative session where we're dying right now financially.
Let me respond to a couple of things there, Melissa. First off, in the comparison with the Blue Ribbon commissions, you're absolutely right. But one thing that I would say is, you know, prior performance is usually a pretty good indicator of future results. The prior performance of Blue Ribbon commissions and studies is incredibly poor. Most of them develop these great big dense reports that are nothing more than a doorstop for somebody's office, and they never get enacted.
Exactly.
Citizens assemblies around the world and around the U.S., their track record is very, very good, very strong, helping states, helping countries, helping legislators. Legislatures solve very complex issues that they have grappled with and could not come to any consensus on. And citizens' assemblies have stepped in, really showed what the electorate had wanted. In some cases, those things have been immediately adopted by general assemblies, and other times they've gone to referendums and they passed strongly through referendums. So their track records are very, very good. The other thing you brought up about the timing of it, one of the things that I think that a lot of people probably don't fully recognize if they're not in the weeds, Connecticut has this biennium budget process, which essentially means we pass a budget for 2 years and we have a long session and a short session. And very little change gets done during a short session. So if we would have launched all of this in January, we just concluded the short session. If we would have launched all this in January, I don't know that it would have even been talked about, because the legislature, the General Assembly, is in and out so quickly in a short session, and they're really not even supposed to be what's considered passing a budget. They're making modifications to the existing budget, to the two-year budget.
Right, but so, we have – the only thing I'm going to say, Joe, is we do have – that flexible $500 million, which again, I know is kind of pocket change when you look at the amount of money people need. I get that. But I do think that we've got that $500 million that the governor basically could do whatever he wants with it. I mean, he has that jurisdiction. And right now, we're not even sure how much of it is going to go to education and adjusting ECS funding, for example. That's the only thing I was thinking. And I loathe, to be honest, the politics around it. Like, we're going to get maybe some great results out of this, which I agree with you. There's a great track record for, because I was doing a little bit of research in that commercial break. Gotta love a commercial break. They have a great track record of results and certainly the participation of having everyday citizens in that state, or, you know, it's fantastic. I hate that we're going to get these results right before an election. I hate it, because you know that whoever is running, whoever is in office, whoever is behind this is going to take credit for that. And that's really, I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't like the timing of it.
Well, there's nobody to take credit for it on the citizen side. What really hopefully will do is it will force the people who are running for office to have to respond. When the electorate comes to you with a series of recommendations, things that the citizens of the state say they want done. And for example, you put the two candidates for governor up on a stage a week before the general election, and you ask them, will you do this? And if not, why not? I think it is a little
Fair.
Bit of a game changer in that regard.
That's true. Okay. All right. I'll hear you out on that. That's fair. Yeah, that's true. Because then you've got the people who have a concrete solution, something that actually would speak for the majority of people in Connecticut. And then when you present it to both candidates, whoever that may be, you know, what's their response? And then, yeah, that's true. Okay. You convinced me on that side. I still don't like the timing. still not a fan of the timing. I mean, so was this something that where did this idea even come about? I mean, was this something you put forward? Were you tapped by the comptroller? I mean, where did this kind of come from? Because, again,
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. It came to me from, the former first select woman of the town of Stonington.
Really?
She learned about citizens' assemblies. She was at something, at, you know, at some conference or something, and she said, listen, the only people that I know in Connecticut that could pull this off on a statewide level is CCM. And she came to me and asked me about it, and I said, well, we can, but we can't without partners, because I need experts in the citizens' assembly space. And that's what brought in, you know, Professor Elaine Landamore from Yale, who has really worked in this space her entire career. She was even part of a few different assemblies in France. So she's a citizens' assembly expert. And great praise to Comptroller Scanlon, because, you know, so many of our politicians are completely risk adverse. And the property tax is an area, when you delve into it, that brings extreme risk for a politician. And I reached out to Comptroller Scanlon, and I said, I'd like to do this. We have Yale on board. We have UConn on board. But we really need a statewide office holder who will lean in, who has the courage to lean into something like this.
Yeah, he's all about that. I like him, too. I like that he does that.
He didn't even hesitate.
Yeah.
I mean, no hesitation. He said, I don't know what'll work, but we have to do something different, and I'm willing to try.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, and to be fair, Joe DeLong, and I'm not saying this off the cuff, I talk to Comptroller Scanlon pretty frequently, but he is somebody who I know at some point would love to run for governor of Connecticut. So I do know that he wants to do right by Connecticut residents. I know he wants to do that. So it would fall very much in line with what he stands for, which is, if we're going to do affordability, well, then let's actually figure out how to do that. Let's effectively do that and put the politics aside, and let's actually figure that out. He's not afraid to talk to people across Connecticut. He's proven that. He certainly has.
Yes, he has. And I mean, he's a real champion in that area, because I can guarantee you, if you ever bring him on and ask him this question, he'll answer it honestly. He and I haven't had this conversation. But knowing this space, I can guarantee you that Sean had advisors around him that told him, don't touch it.
Oh, it was. Are you kidding me? There, it was the same way with the when he came out with the audit for the former chancellor. He was absolutely advised not to make a big thing of it, but he did. And I was glad that he did.
Right.
Absolutely, he's going to do what's right. Absolutely. That's why it did not surprise me at all that if there was one lawmaker or politician that was going to partner with you guys to do something like this, that it was him. It was not a surprise to me. That did not come as a shock. So I agree that I think it's about time we have this conversation. That's interesting. It came from the first select person of Stonington, though. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something that she learned from others about. She heard about it. She looked into it, got really excited and interested, and you know, brought it to us. And you know, look, years ago, there was this thing, another professor from Yale, he's deceased now, a guy by the name of Dr. Benjamin Barber. He created this thing called the Global Parliament of Mayors. That you know, Connecticut was one of the few states in the U.S. that actually went to the Global Parliament of Mayors. And some of that same concept of, we have to start learning from other people. We have to start listening. We have to start broadening our horizons. And so we have, you know, we have, and that Global Parliament of Mayors proposed this thing that was called a statewide town hall. Not totally different from a citizens assembly, but this random, the difference with a town hall is the town hall is everybody's invited and you get the same people who show up. Where with a citizens assembly, the random selection piece of it that's done independently really is a game changer, because it elevates voices of people who either are shy or who don't want to be in conflict or simply normally just can't show up because of their own financial burdens and financial struggles. It really reaches out into our communities in a way, brings in different personality types, brings in different voices that just really deserve to be elevated and deserve to be heard.
And that is the Citizens Assembly. And I'm going to put a link to it for more information on our website, voiceofct.com. And Joe, you said that people can get letters as early as today in their mailboxes about this?
Yeah, I believe they may start seeing some may start seeing those letters hit today. They'll definitely be hitting this week.
Well, keep an eye out for that. And Joe DeLong, I always appreciate you having such honest conversation with me here on WICC. Thank you so much for your time.
Melissa, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk again soon. That is Joe DeLong, the Executive Director and CEO of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. We'll have a link to the Connecticut Citizens Assembly site on ours, voiceofct.com.